Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to look at God's Word. We would also invite you to listen and watch our TV program that airs right after this program at 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on Channel 6 of your public access, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio broadcasts there. You'll find our TV programs there. It can be downloaded. You'll also find a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. There's also a place there to do a free Bible correspondence course through email. Please check it out. We'd be more than happy to do that with you. Or if you would like to have a private study, we'd be more than happy to do that too. We have a study called The Big Picture of the Bible, and we'd be more than happy to come to your home or you to come to us, and takes about 50 minutes, and we'd love to do that. If you have a desire to that, just let it be known. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we want you to know that you will always be welcome and warmly received, and all we want you to do is come and study and worship God with us. If you have opportunity, we invite you to come and to be with us. We are looking at an overview in the Bible, and we have completed the Old Testament, and we're nearing the completion of the New. We're in the book of James, and this morning we're looking at this very good practical book in chapter number 2. And so we're going to look at some of the teachings that are contained in chapter number 2. Begins in verses 1 through 4. It says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy rags, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" Notice in these first 5 verses, it talks about the sin of partiality. We're not to make judgments about men concerning about how they appear, about their education level or their dress, or how poor or rich they might be. Those are not standards of judgment that are honorable and right in God's sight. We are to treat all men equally. We are to treat the poor man just like we would treat the rich man. We are to treat the educated person just like we would the uneducated. We're not to show partiality. When we show partiality, we violate God's law, and he is not pleased. And we become judges, the Bible says, of evil thoughts. And so we must be careful not to judge by appearance. You know, even Jesus warned of that in John 7:24, that we're not to judge by appearance, but make righteous judgments. And so we must be careful on how we view things about people, and we must not reach rash conclusions based upon superficial and outward appearance. We also understand, beginning in verse number 8, there are some more practical lessons. If you really fulfill the world law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, again, drawing a conclusion from the earlier statements about partiality, if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, then we have sinned. And if you show partiality, that's a sin. If you show partiality, or you give credence to one person over another simply based on these superficial circumstances, then you're guilty of sin. You are a transgressor of the law. You could keep all the rest of the law, but you violated this one point. You're a transgressor. You violated the law. You're a lawbreaker. And you only have to commit one sin, and you only have to violate it at one point in order to be called a transgressor. A transgressor is one that goes beyond. And he emphasizes this in verse 11. He says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, he also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You see, it doesn't make any difference which part of the law you violate. When you violate the law, you're a lawbreaker. When you commit sin, you're a sinner. And when you commit sin, no matter what area it's in and no matter what degree you commit it, that's sinful, and that makes you a transgressor and a lawbreaker, and you must come to God with repentance and do the things that God requires in order to be forgiven. And in verse number 12, he says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, again, he's telling us in a practical lesson that we need to be merciful in our judgment of others. We want people to be merciful to us. That goes back to the golden rule of Matthew 7, verse 12, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We need to make righteous judgment. We need to be men and women who show mercy. We extend mercy. Why? Because God extends mercy to us. God's extended mercy to all men because we're guilty of sin, and yet God has graciously offered to forgive us if we meet the conditions and terms that are established in his word. And then we ought to be recipients of that to others. We are to do that to our neighbors. We're to do that to our brethren. We're to do that with our families. We are to not make righteous or rash judgments. We are to act without partiality, and we are to demonstrate mercy. And if we don't extend mercy, then mercy will not be extended to us. Probably the most controversial part of the book of James is verses 14 through 26. Martin Luther went as far as to say that he did not believe that it belonged in the canon. Now, the reason that Mr. Luther said that is because Mr. Luther is a proponent of faith only. By believing and teaching and promoting that man saved by faith without anything else. Well, that faith is important. We discussed that a few weeks ago looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is indispensable in our relationship with God. We can't please him without it, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, but it is not faith only. And in these verses, that subject is discussed. Is faith only a doctrine that came from God? Mr. Luther did not like the book of James because he couldn't get around the teaching of James chapter 2, 14 through 26. And let me read some and you will begin to understand. What does it profit, my brethren, if one says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace and be warmed and be filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Notice what he's saying. What he's asking a question. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? And the answer to that's no, it can't. And he gives an illustration about a brother or sister being naked and destitute and needing daily food. And you would say, well, we'll pray for you, go away, be warmed and filled, but yet you did not help them. You did not change your situation. You had the ability, you had the means, but you didn't do it. You know, you might have faith that God will take care of it, but you had the ability, because of the grace of God and the blessings in your own life, to take care of him and help him, and you didn't. And then his argument is, thus faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so our work demonstrates our faith. Now, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see what James is saying? I can demonstrate my faith to others by my acts of obedience to God's will. When I conduct my life in the way that God has directed me, when I put his teachings as application in my heart, when I demonstrate that in my actions, in my words, in my speech, in my conduct, then I'm living my faith. I'm living in and I'm demonstrating it. And that's the type of faith that God is pleased with. That's a living, active, obedient faith. That's what faith God demands. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Faith only? Even the demons believe. Go back and read in the Gospels. There are two occasions where Jesus cast demons out of people, and they knew him, even though the people that he was casting out didn't know him. The demons knew him, and on one occasion asked to be not sent to the abyss, but to be put into a herd of swine, which the Lord granted and put the evil spirits in the swine, and they ran violently over the hill into the sea. But you see, even the demons believe. Belief alone is not enough, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening this morning, you believe in God, what is the evidence of that? What is the evidence of your belief? How can men, and not men, but how can God know that you really believe in him? Well, when you are actively obedient to his instruction. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead, being alone? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see the point? Abraham acted on his obedient faith. Go and offer Isaac, Genesis chapter 22. Did he have faith in God? Did he believe that God could raise him from the dead, even if he took his life? Yes, read Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. You see, he acted by faith. He was obedient to the instructions of God. He did, and verse 22 says, that see his faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Again, he didn't earn it, he didn't merit it, but he demonstrated his faith in God by his obedient reaction to the instructions and the commands of God. Now, let us hear the conclusion, verse 24 through 26. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, being alone. Now get the illustration, ladies and gentlemen. Just like the body, when the spirit leaves the body, death occurs. When our spirit leaves our body, death has occurred, and it will not return. It will not return because that's the point of death. We argue a lot about the point of death. The point of death takes place when the spirit departs from the body. And just like when the spirit leaves our mortal body, our physical body, then the body is dead. The writer James, who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that faith, if it does not have obedient works behind it, that's as dead as the body without the spirit. You see his point? Faith must be demonstrated. It must be active obedience to the commands of God. Now, there are many who take issue with this because they believe if you believe in works, then you believe in merit, you merit it, you're earning it, you're obligating God to do it. All of that's completely false. I don't merit it, I don't earn it. I could keep every command that God has told me to keep, and I could stack them one on the other and could live to be 100 years old, and I would never do enough things in order to grant me eternal life. That can only be done with adding God's grace. God's grace is a determining factor. But ladies and gentlemen, God demands faith. And Bible faith is active obedience to the instructions of God. Man does not have faith who hears what God says but does not do it, who knows the instruction of God but does not fulfill it, and disobeys his instructions, that man has no faith, and it's demonstrated by his lack of works, by not being obedient to his instructions. Listener, do you have faith? And is your faith demonstrated by the works that you do in obedience to the commands of the God that you serve? Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.